there comes a point where you have got to know what God has said about your life and about what He wants you to do. And just because your perception of things is gloomy and says it won't work, your heart can lead you into the truth that you need to make it successful, even if your circumstances say it's impossible. But you make the decision. Will you harden your heart? Or will you listen to your heart? You make the decision. Will you follow your head or will you follow your heart? Concerning the voice of God and what you've heard. Those that follow their head really commit a sin that is considered to be very high treason in the kingdom of God, and that is the sin of disobedience. And that is the one thing that will keep you in the wilderness. The one thing that will keep you in the wilderness, going round and round and round the desert, is the sin of disobedience. Why? Because the sin of disobedience means that you are following your head and not the voice of God. God's already told you to do it. You made the decision not to do it because all you see is failure. And so you make the decision that I'm not going to go through with this because I can't see it working. And so you choose to quit, or you take an easier path, or you do something that God hasn't told you to do. It doesn't matter. It's still the sin of disobedience, and the reason why people disobey is because they've made the decision based on what they can see and not based on what God has told them to do. And that keeps you in the wilderness. That's why people go around and round and round and round and round the wilderness, never making the destiny that God has already appointed them to, never achieving the abundant life that God has chosen for them. It's because when they come to the border of that land, they harden their heart, they can't see it happening, and they quit, and they disobey God. The Lord knows I've done enough of it my own self. And it's all because you harden your heart because you just can't see beyond your own perception. And when your perception becomes more accurate than what God's Word, what His voice has specifically said to do, then you're doomed for failure. And what's worse, you never enter God's rest. Chapter 4, verse 2, indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of what? Disobedience. Verse 7 again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. One of the things God told me recently in my prayer time, faith is not a real difficult thing. God tells you to do something. You say what you're going to do, and then you do it. If you believe God, you'll say, this is what I'm going to do, and you go out and do it. That's all faith is. I mean, we can make it technical. We can break it down, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But really, bottom line, what it comes down to is if you believe what God has told you in your heart, you say, this is what I'm going to do, and you go out and do it. There's nothing more difficult than that. I go back and I look at what worked for us. When I heard God's voice, and he said 300 acres, and I came to the family and said, it's 300 acres. God said, it's time to go find it. Mom came up, she found it. I waited for God's plan to get it. He gave me the plan to get it. I did not consider what everybody else had to say about it. I didn't consider my perception of the thing. I just did what God told me to do. And it always achieved success. In the transition, we come across times where it is difficult to see beyond the circumstance. And the circumstances sometimes do mount up. And they become very, very real. And the emotion involved with the circumstances are also real. And they are discouraging. And they are disheartening. But just because you feel discouraged, and just because you feel something, doesn't mean anything. It's what you choose to do. You either choose to obey the voice that you've heard, or you choose to disobey the voice you've heard. If God said, go forward with this thing, and you obey, you will enter the rest and the success that comes with it. If you choose your perception, and if you choose what you can see and calculate with your mind, you will become discouraged and quit. And the only time you'll do anything for God is when you feel like it's going to work. But if you keep going towards the promised land, even in the wilderness, and despite what you can see with your eyes, and despite what you feel with your emotions, and you choose to obey, and you make that the pattern, and you make that the course, that I am going to obey. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep going because I've heard his voice. Then you will enter into his rest. And if he says, this is the land I've given you, I will settle you here and establish you here, then that is his voice. That is his word. That is his predetermined purpose. And that is his will for your life. Verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. What rest? The rest of obedience. Lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. They chose to quit and disobey. And they fell in the wilderness. They never made it to where God wanted them to be. Why? Their perception. It wasn't even real. Perception is not real. It's just how your mind calculates things. It's the picture that your mind generates based on circumstances. So what is accurate? What is accurate is verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful. If you have heard God's voice concerning what he wants to do with your life, that is also the word of God. Now, you know what I mean by that. I'm not saying that God's going to ask you to do something that's contradictory to this Bible. This Bible is the standard by which we judge the voice of God and the voice that we hear in our spirit. This Bible is what judges that. But if you have heard the voice of God concerning your life and concerning the course that God wants to put your life on, and you've heard it, and you know it's God, and you've judged it against these scriptures, and it falls in line with what the scriptures say, and you know you've heard the word of God, then it is living, and it is powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now get this. Piercing is going to cut right through. piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. What's your soul? That's your thoughts and your emotions. What's your spirit? That is the part of you that has been born again. It's the part of you that communicates with God. What is in the middle is your will. So on the one hand, you got God's word. And on the other hand, you got your perception of the circumstances. And your emotions get it all muddied up because you know you've heard God's word and you know you've heard God's voice and you know what He's asked you to do, but your emotions look at the perception of the circumstances and your mind calculates it and says it just is not going to happen. You just got to accept it. It's not going to happen. You might as well quit. But what God's word does is it cuts right through that. And it makes a division. It makes a discernment of what's real and what's not real. And it says, this is what's real. God's word is what's real. It's living and powerful. It has the ability to manifest itself. It has creative ability. It goes beyond reality of circumstances. It goes beyond normal possibilities. It makes the division of what's accurate and what's not accurate. Your perception is just a generated image of the circumstances, but God's word is the real image of what He wants to lead you into. So you determine what's accurate. Your perception, which isn't even real, or the Word of God, the voice of God, which is living and it's powerful and it's able to manifest itself. That's what you have to choose as being accurate. And that's what you have to choose as to which way you're going to go. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. His word is going to say, listen, that's your perception, but this is God's word. Jesus got in the boat with the disciples. And He said, fellas, we're going to the other side. Now, He had spoken what He was going to do. In another place in the Bible, Jesus said, listen, I only say what I hear my Father say. And I do what I see my Father do. So He had heard in His heart that He was going to the other side. Halfway out there, Jesus is taking a nap. And a storm comes up. And Jesus keeps sleeping. And the disciples are nervous. Because their perception was they were not going to make it to the other side. But Jesus was sleeping because He had already said, I'm going to the other side. You see, the wind and the rain and the storm didn't change what He had chosen for Himself. The storm can affect perception, but it couldn't change His decision. And so when He wakes up and He calms the storm, He looks at the disciples and say, oh, ye of little faith. Why would He say that? It's like I told you, faith is real simple. You hear what God wants to do. You say what you're going to do and you do it. And you don't let your perception of things discourage you and cause you to quit. Verse 13, there's no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Listen, God has spoken to each and every person in this room and will continue to speak to each and every person in this room as to the things that He wants to accomplish in your life and in my life. And one day we're all going to have to stand before Him and give an account. An account of what? Did you follow your perception? Or did you follow the word? Did your perception of things cause you to quit? Or did the word of God lead you on? And did you obey the word even in the face of certain failure? Now I think verses 14, 15, and 16 are appropriate to wrap it up with. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When your perception begins to cause discouragement to rise up from the inside of you, when your perception begins to see failure, you've got a high priest who's already been through it. You've got a high priest, his name is Jesus, who was tempted in all points, even as we are, who knows what it's like to have a perception that things just might fail. He himself went to the Garden of Gethsemane. But while he was in Gethsemane, he went to the throne of grace to find grace to help in his time of need. When our perceptions bring us to the point where we can only see failure, and we can only see the things that would cause gloom and discouragement, we can make the right decisions. And there is grace and there is mercy to help us in that time of need. What need? So that we don't quit. And sometimes that's your biggest need. So that you don't quit. I don't want to see us quit. I don't want to see us come to the place where we see things that are not perfect, cause us to want to turn back and turn away from the thing that God has told us to do. We get grumpy with one another. We get irritable. Cross things are sometimes said. Things are just not exactly the way they should be. But there is grace and mercy to help in our time of need so that we don't quit and choose to disobey.
Step through the door. You've opened for me, knowing your way is right, knowing your hand is leading me, knowing your love won't fail, knowing your favor rest on me, I will obey. From the stranger's voice I run to the shelter of your hand. I will trust in you to lead me through a dry and thirsty land. And I will know.